Are you ready?
Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that we're.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
I'm young. I'm handsome. I'm fat. I'm pretty. And can't possibly be beat.
Good evening, listeners. You have tuned in to Baby Mama Talk with Nikki Outlaw and our co-host Lady Q and KD. We welcome you this Tuesday evening. Tonight's conversation topic is domestic violence. We have a special guest, Gina Love, and we thank Gina for coming on the air tonight and sharing her story, her inspiration, her motivation that will uplift hopefully somebody out there who is going through it right now and is trying to figure out what's the next step to survive, especially when you have children. Hopefully you will enjoy and take something of value to heart as we go for the next hour. My co-hosts tonight are Lady Q. Lady Q, you are on the air. Please say hello to our listeners tonight.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back if it's not your first time. If it is your first time, hi, hi.
And our other co-host is KD. KD, welcome the listeners tonight.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
And if you are new to the show, Baby Mama Talk is not about baby mama drama or daddy drama. It is about real issues, real conversations, real talk. Basically, of course, it's a lady, you know, a women host geared primarily to women, but we are geared to everyone because all the topics that we talk about hit home to men and women of all ethnic backgrounds, of all cultural backgrounds, and we just hope that you enjoy and take something from each show that we bring you. I'm going to now bring on our special guest of the evening, Gina Love. Please say hello to our listeners.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in this evening.
And Gina has a special guest in the background. I've already said hello to him this evening.
I'm sorry.
Son, you're fine. Sometimes we have to do that when we're parents.
Yes, that's my son in the background.
So we might hear him on and off through the next hour, and that is quite okay.
I apologize.
Gina,
yes.
Do not apologize. Now, like I said, we're parents first. You know, tell us your story.
Yeah, hold on for 1 second. I apologize. Yes, that's Allie's son. My story basically is, like I said, my son's three. It just got to the point with his dad. It was, do I protect my kids or do I stay in this relationship? And when it got to the point where CPS had to get involved, it was to the point where I just had to basically leave and say that my son's more important. And even though he got taken from by CPS, I just, like I said, it got to the point my son's more important. I need to do what I need to do to get my son back. It was a long battle. It was hard. They had him for about a month and a half. I got him back now for about 4 months now, but it's still hard and a long process, even now.
Right. Now, Gina, when you were in this relationship, was it did it start immediately once you got in it, or was one of those, like, we've all heard this, you know, the story, you know, you're in it, it's all good.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it was, let's see, I met my son's dad. We used to work together doing security, and it was like everything was peaches and cream. I guess that's what they call going through domestic violence, you know now, but it was like the honeymoon stage. You were just the nice, cool guy. Nothing seemed to be wrong at all. And it was like we got together, we got a place, everything seemed fine. Then, like, all of a sudden we would argue, and then just one day just come to discover that he had a drug problem. And being the, I don't know if it just has to be with just being the kind-hearted person I am, I said, well, people deserve to get help. Maybe I should try to help them. So I actually went and researched the type of drug that he was taking to try to seek help for him. And I guess you could say now from the classes and stuff, just learning, I just kept making excuses for him, because then I wasn't even pregnant with my son. But then, like I said, I found out I was pregnant. So it's like, well, okay, he's kind of changing, he's doing better. But then he would act up again. It was like every time he used his choice of drug, he would act up, lash out, call me names, want to fight me. And it was like, at the time, like I said, then it was like, okay, I'm staying. I'm pregnant. I'm staying. Then that was the reason for staying. But now through, like, the help with the domestic violence classes and stuff, it was like, why did you stay? It's just more like, I'm glad I got out of it.
Right. Now, in the process, was it just physical, or was it mental and psychological? You know, because there's various degrees.
I said, if I look back at it, it was all of it. But it was hard during the time. It was hard for me, and I hope none of the listeners would be like, why or what is she talking about or anything. But a lot of people don't know the different forms of domestic violence. And that was my problem. I just knew about physical and sexual. So I didn't know emotional, the mental, the psychological. I didn't learn those things out until it was too late, until CPS interfered. And then I had to go to the classes where they teach you. So by him not molesting me or, like, physically, I mean, he would raise his hand to me, but, like, he would just say hard words to me, and I'm like, this is not right. Something not right. And it just got to the point where, like I said, I had to call the police, and it was just, then I felt, yeah, the police is bad. They're not going to shoot me. I'm sorry about that. My son's in the background again. Okay, they're going to go to your daddy's house?
No, we can't go to my daddy's house.
Okay, sorry about that, listener. Well, Sam, do you like to tell them what do the police do for the bad people? Do you want to tell the radio people?
Yeah.
Okay, what do they do? What do they do with the bad people?
They shoot that guy and they go to jail.
And they go to jail? Okay. Did you hear
them? Yes, that's exactly right. I'm in the car and they go to jail.
Yeah,
and you're right, Gina. You
but,
mentioned, you know, earlier about the fact that, you know, a lot of people don't realize when it comes to any type of abuse, the various levels of it. And a lot of people, you know, out here, all they think about is the physical abuse. Do I see a bruise on the face? Do I see a bruise on the legs or the back or whatever? Or the sexual abuse. And you're absolutely right. There are so many other levels. There's the mental abuse, which, in my opinion, and listeners, this is just my opinion. In my opinion, sometimes I believe that the mental and psychological abuse is sometimes a little bit worse than the physical abuse and sexual abuse.
It is. It got to the point I lyrically just sat there and would be balled up in a knot, like, oh my God, because he'll be like, you're a lady, you're an itch. I'm trying to keep it clean for the radio.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's like, well, what did I do? And then he'll come home and then he'll cry, like, only one trying to help me, I love you. Come to find out he was just doing the honeymoon stage. Like, don't leave, I love you. This and that. I don't want you to take my son away. This and that and that. Don't leave with my son. And I mean, it literally got to the point where his family accused me for picking up the phone and calling the police. Like, well, you're the one that called the police. That's the reason he got my son got taken away from CPS. And even now that I have him back, it's like the only one out of his family that literally thanks me is his mom. The rest of his family's still on that, well, you called the police. And I'm like, okay, so not only am I being abused by you, I'm being abused by your family. I'm like, only reason I still tolerate you is because you're my son's dad. He has to, you know, he does have to see his son through CPS. But other than that, it's like, I don't need to suffer. I don't need my son suffering. I don't need my son thinking it's okay to hit women or anybody in general.
Right. Now, you know what? I'm going to take us back a little bit, Tina, because, you know, you're talking about your son.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the relationship when there was no son. Let's go back to the relationship before your son was born, and it was just you and your ex. And let's talk
mm-hmm.
about a little bit, and if you're comfortable, you know, how was it more mental or physical when it was just you and him? And how did you deal with that? How did you keep going?
It was more, well, let me see if I'm saying it right, because it's different kind. It was more verbal, mental, and I guess you would say where they like try to confuse you or what? That's what I said. I guess I'm saying that right.
Psychological.
He's the type that would say something and you would like really sit there and think like, did you tell me
really
that?
Right. So, like basically, if you wore an outfit, I'm going to come out with some examples for our listeners here, especially our young women out here who are listening. You know, whether it's a man or another female, depending on your orientation, you know, if you're out there and somebody is degrading you or saying you don't look pretty or you're not gorgeous or you can't wear that out, that's all a sign
of
abuse.
That's a red flag.
Exactly. You know, or
and,
let's say you're out in public and somebody looks at you. And next thing you know, that person, that significant other or whatever, is yelling at you because somebody looked at you. That's a form of
good
abuse.
Help. Yes,
you
it
know,
is.
And those the little itty bitty signs. Or how about, let's say, and like in your case, you were involved in this relationship before your child came along. I don't know if you said y'all lived together, but even if you didn't, let's say you go over to a house.
We used to live together.
You're living together, or for those instances where people aren't living together, but you frequent each other's homes, and let's say you're helping out in the house, you're doing whatever, and you do it in their eyes, you do it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You do it wrong, and then somebody all of a sudden is all beat out of shape. They're mad. They're punching walls. They're throwing stuff. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is a sign right there, because when they're punching a wall, or throwing a pillow, or throwing a chair, or throwing dishes, and even though they have not physically hit you,
it's
that
a
is
sign
a sign
of anger management.
That later down the road, anger management problems, but that's later down the road that becomes physical. Right now, it's just all mental and psychological. And in your mind, and I know, Gina, you probably thought this, because if he became physical later, he probably started with all the mental stuff, and you're thinking, what did I do to set you off? What was the trigger? And the thing about it is, it was really, deep down dirty, it was really nothing that anybody actually did. It's something that they have in their minds, that it's in their makeup, that no matter what you did, and listeners, please listen to this particular point that I'm about to make, no matter what you do, they're going to go off, no matter what. It's just how they're made up. There's something, whether how they were brought up, they probably saw abuse. And instead of going the positive way, they decided to go the way Gina's ex has gone, which is the abusive way. Do I say it correctly, you know, Gina? I'm going to chime in my co-host. Lady Q or Katie, what are y'all thoughts? You have a question for Gina or?
You had made a comment earlier, and I wanted to address on that because a lot of people think that domestic violence just happens with a man and a woman, and it doesn't. It can happen with any race, gender, it can happen to anybody.
And that is
so true. I just wanted to make that point clear that it can happen to anybody.
And another way it can happen, you know, parent to child, child to parent. You know, it's various levels of abuse. It's mm-hmm. so many. Lady Q, are you there?
Yeah. Miss Gina, I had a question. I wanted to know the honeymoon phase, of course, in the time you didn't know that was what was going on, but the very first time that he came out of his mouth and said something to you, you know, degrading or something to you that just, you know, took your breath away and kind of made you step back and go, wait a minute, what was it that made you want to continue to be in that relationship? Did you already know about the drug issues and, you know, did you excuse it that way, or what was it exactly that made you want to stick around?
Well, actually I had three kind of problems. The drinking and the marijuana, it's like I can kind of deal with them if you know how to act and stuff. But his other choice of drugs, he like was heavy on PCP, and I never really knew at the time what that was. Everybody was just saying water, and it was summertime, so it really didn't like register to me what was going on. I guess you can say I was kind of slow because it didn't register to me. And he's always like, oh, I need some water. Then one day I thought about it. I'm like, I'm never seeing him drink any water. What's going on? So one of his friends was like, you don't know what water is? And I'm like, no, he's talking about red water, but I don't ever see him drink it unless he's already drinking it, and then he's drinking a beer. And she's like, no, he's talking about Sherm. So I told her, I said, well, I'll be back. Like I said, I had already found out I was pregnant, but I was like, I'll be back. I literally researched it and, like, was in tears. Like, why is he doing this? It messes with your brain, Joe. It does all of this. So we sat down and talked about it, and he, you know, now I can honestly say he was playing the role, but he was like, okay, I'll get help, and he was doing good. I wouldn't see him doing it unless, like I said, he was sneaking off doing it not around me or whatever. And it was like, okay, I'll stay. He's my son's dad. I'll stay. I just always felt that way, that even though my daughter didn't have her dad around, I just really felt that a kid should have their dad around. But that now, due to what I've been through, I'm honestly seeing that that's not true. You know, mom can be mommy and dad. It's harder, but they can be mommy and dad.
Oh, yeah.
know, going through the classes was like a mandatory thing to get your son back. Do you, you seem like you're getting a lot from them, and are you, do you think that, you know,
I don't mean to check. I'm going to be honest. I hated the classes. I hated it. No, I'm not. That's why I have, but looking back, I can laugh about it, because when I first went, I was like one of these people, like, they call it in the now stage. I'm like, why am I here? Nothing's wrong. Why? And then I felt bad because I'm like, okay, these people have, that's what made me really, like, appreciate it, because other people had serious stuff than me. Like, one person almost died. It just, so it was a wake-up call for me. But I'm not going to lie, like, the first 5 weeks of the class, I'm like, why? I still made myself go, but I had that attitude, like, why am I here? Why? But then when it took the point of me lyrically having to go, because I was, at the time I was going to the classes, but we still was in our house, even though they took my son. But it got to the point I had to go to the shelter, and that was like a huge wake-up call to me. That's when it, I just, the fears, everything. It was like, wow, I could have been dead listening to this honeymoon stage, like, keep going back to him. It's like, is he going to change? He's not going to change. It's like, okay, yeah, because now he's on this if he can't have me, nobody can, and we need to be, and we have to be together for the sake of this kid. And I'm like, no, we don't.
We have a caller from 770. Who I think wants to talk to you, Gina. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Lawless. How are you,
Hi, Mel.
Hello.
I really want to send a shout-out, and this is a very personal conversation that I'm about to have. So I was just coming in with the young lady talking. I'm not sure what her name is, but her name.
Yeah.
I want to tell you this, baby girl. I am getting out of a 12-year marriage, okay? That was very, very, very abusive.
Very.
I stayed for numerous reasons. Financial, what's serious, love, thinking he was going to change. My husband didn't have any drug or alcohol problems. What I want to tell you, even with the shelter, like even what you're talking about, if he tell you he's going to change or whatever, my kids are removed from me to this day. I'm not ashamed to say it because it's nothing that I did. You will lose your children. They will take them. Because they feel like if you're not able to defend yourself, what makes them think that you can defend them children?
Oh, trust me. I know. Because it lyrically, like I said, it lyrically got to that point that they had my son for a year and a half. They took him when he was 18 months. He's 3 now. It lyrically, like, I was already depressed from I might be saying it wrong, PSP, post-traumatic stress, I might be saying it wrong, but
you're talking about, like, when you have, after you have a baby.
No, not after you have a baby. This is, not post-traumatic stress. It's the other stress, like, if certain things make you jump or something when trauma happens to you. I can't
okay.
think of the name.
Attic order.
Yeah, thank you. That's what it's called. I was trying to think of the initials for it.
Okay.
I suffer that, and I would, like, being in the shelter, I would, like, lyrically have anxiety and cry, and it got to the point, okay, my son's taken away. It's like, woman, They have on record, you're still talking to your son's dad. What do you need to do to get your son back get on the right track. You need to prove to them that you're comprehending what domestic violence is. And it, like I said, it was a long battle. The process is over soon. Hate's a strong word. I never thought I would say that about a person, but it's, he puts knots in my stomach. It literally took the person I'm with now to have me stand up to my son's dad. That's how much fear he puts in me. It's like I can't even look at him eye to eye.
Right. Chelsea, you have another question or comment about anything?
The only thing I wanted to say to her is because, yes, I will always look around and think that everybody else was worse than me. I'm like, oh, I'm fine. You know? No, I'm not walking around with black eyes. I'm driving a Benz and I'm living in a big house and everything is good on the outside. But nobody... It's not always like that, you know?
It's not.
Now I have a question. I'm so thankful for you to come on the air and share this with us, but in your marriage, was it, because you said you didn't have any physical things, so yours was probably more mental and psychological?
No, mine was physical, but he was smart enough to, I had
to
it all.
Hide where he hit you. Is that's what he did? He would, you know, in places that wouldn't be seen.
Right. He was good for me. And,
wow.
But when I'm walking outside, no, nobody's going to see that.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Wow.
But see, was hard out here in the state that I'm in, is they're quick to holler to get a restraining order, which I have on my son's debt. But half of the time, they don't even do anything.
No, because if they don't catch them on the property, they're like, what did he do? Well, he was just outside my house.
So I have to tell one of the officers, I'm like, okay, so what, y'all not going to do nothing until I'm lyrically dead? I mean, come on now. Like in our domestic violence group, we literally had that conversation over and over again. It was like, had if our kid didn't get removed, or had we known all of this, would we have made the phone call? And it's like 50-50, because it's like, okay, yes, people are finding out about domestic violence and they have groups and stuff. But out here, I'm gonna be honest about it. The shelter they have for domestic violence, whether you have a kid or not, is only for 30 days, and then you have to wait to get into the other part of it. And then some of them are not even for the kids. So it was like so much of a hassle and a depression for me. It was like, I'm already homeless. I might as well just be homeless. And people are like, you're homeless? You don't look homeless. I'm like, because I didn't portray myself to be homeless at the time. But it like really a downfall. That's why it just got to a point. People that know me, they're like, you should share your story. You should write a book. You should just express how you feel. And I'm like, I have so much anger. I don't want it to come out. This is like the calmest I have ever been really talking about it. I'm getting better at talking about it, but it's still...
Right.
It still hurts.
And you should.
It still hurts.
Very deep. This is a very deep.
Hold on for one second. I'm sorry. When he asked for that charger, he said it right there. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We have another caller from area code 414. Caller, you're on the air. If you could state your name. Caller.
Mr. Duray.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
What's happening? I'm good.
Okay, do you have a question or a comment?
I just checked in. I'm just trying to figure out the topic.
Well, thank you for calling in. This is Baby Mama Talk with Nikki Outlaw and my co-host,
I know who you are. You love me. I know who you are.
I know. I'm also saying it for those
exactly
individuals who are just checking, checking
lose
in.
That, okay? That's
but
to get
our topic tonight is domestic violence, and we're talking with our special guest Gina Love. She's a survivor of domestic violence.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello. Did you want to say anything to her or make a comment about the topic?
Domestic violence is bad.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I thought it was going to be like, okay, so we're talking about domestic violence. So basically, okay, I know it's a lot of women out there, you know, victims of domestic abuse. But what about the men?
Exactly.
You got some men out here that get the shit kicked out of them by their wives, their girlfriends, fiancés, what have you. Okay, so this whole thing, you know, needs to be more than one-sided. We need to talk about the men that get whooped.
Right, and we actually said that earlier. We actually said that it's not just.
Okay, well, I just checked in.
Yeah, I know, but I'm glad you did, and I'm glad you brought it back up, because you're right. It's not just one-sided, whereas the females get abused. There are a lot of men out there.
I can attest to it personally.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
I can attest to it personally because me, for one, I don't put my hands on a female, but for some reason,
where'd you put the car?
A female feel like, you know, feel the need.
Otherwise,
you're
not going to be able to get the
toy. Wait a minute. I can't. What?
She's talking to her
son. I'm sorry.
I can't.
I'm going to mute you for a minute, Gina, while she's talking. Go ahead.
Okay, I can't do the conversation with the kids in the background. Okay?
Go ahead.
But like I was saying, you have many undocumented cases of men getting their ass whooped by their females, and I, for one, can attest to that because I don't put my hands on females, but I've been a victim of such abuse. But because I'm a gentleman, I will not attack a female back, and they know that. And because if I needed to, I have plenty of female cousins, and then none of the females in my life ever want that. So instead of me going to jail and my cousin getting involved, I'll just take my licks and go to bed.
Hmm.
You hear me?
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring one of my co-hosts. KD?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do you want to say anything to...
My question is, but Gina, is she still on the line?
She's on. I just got to bring her back. I just wanted to see if you wanted to say anything to our male counterpart here, because that's neat, because it touches, like you said, it touches both genders, which isn't addressed a lot.
Right.
But go ahead. Ask
yes.
Gina a question. Gina, you're on the air.
Gina? Hi, Gina. This is KD. I just wanted to ask you, how is your self-esteem level now at this point?
Whew, that's a good question. Actually, it's doing really better. It just kind of triggered more when I, like, see his dad, but I have to just pray and I have to stay focused for my kids. That's the main thing. And what was his name? The other car? I think his name was Red. I'm sorry. But to the gentleman that was just on, he made an interesting point. And to me, I feel the law should be regardless, whether you're a man or a female. If you've been a victim of domestic violence and you make that phone call, it should not matter who got – it should not – be reversed. Oh, just because the man called, he goes to jail too because they think he hit the person, because anybody is a victim of domestic violence.
You're absolutely right. And I want to say just really quick, If you're just tuning in, our topic on Baby Mama Talk tonight is domestic violence. And the main point that we're trying to make is it doesn't matter if it's a male or a female that's getting abused, regardless of who it is, it's wrong, whether it's mental, physical, psychological, and physical. We have another special guest tonight. His name is Stephen Riddick. I'm going to bring him on. Stephen is also a survivor. But in this particular situation, Stephen was the child or the teenager.
Where is the card?
Who was, who witnessed his mother being abused by his stepfather. Stephen, are you on
here? Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Hi. Gina, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So
thank you. Thank you for inviting me on. This subject is pretty touchy for me because there was two situations that I witnessed my mom experience as a victim of domestic violence, and I kind of wrote about it in my magazine that I published. And what happened was this was back in, I want to say, 1980. I was probably 5 years old, and she had married a man from Ghana. And everything seemed to be cool for a brief while. And then I noticed things started to become difficult. I remember one time my mom was cleaning a glass table, and for whatever reason, it broke in half, and she just started crying. And she was crying because the guy who she had married, I don't consider him my stepfather, but the guy that she had married was going to beat on her. And the description that I can best describe of the situation that occurred was we lived in an apartment. It was a two-story apartment, and we stayed on the second floor. And you could feel the apartment vibrating because of the way that he would, just beat on her and abuse her. Eventually, we moved from there into a shelter because she had just had enough. She couldn't take it anymore. And my family started to notice that I was, really jumpy. And, it was like for a child to be so jumpy, that concerned them because, he'd yell at me or all kind of, it was just a mess. So fast forward, she dated another young man immediately after that situation. And that situation was pretty violent as well because I recall I had a black and white Michael Jackson poster on my wall. And for whatever reason, I just happened to peel it back. And when I looked behind it, there was a hole. There was a hole the size of a soccer ball. And, I kept quizzing my mom, just asking what happened. She wouldn't say, but whatever, it came across in a conversation with some of my older relatives that the guy that she was dating at the time had choked her and slammed her head into the back of the wall. And the back of her head had caused the hole in the wall. So, those were two relationships back to back that I witnessed my mother being abused. And as what I was telling you is, guys who experience that growing up, there's two things that can happen. One is he can repeat the things that he witnessed. Or the second part is because he does not want to emulate the same situation that happened before, he can avoid it. And sometimes some females may not understand that and they take that as a weakness, take that particular man as a weakness because, if she's a strong-willed young lady, then he may try to avoid conflict, and he may not want to insert so-called his manhood because he's seen what that type of situation can turn out. Because if you have two strong-willed persons going toe-to-toe, chances are you're going to have some type of dispute that, it's going to be some violence. So that's what I was telling you, and I found myself on the second end because just based on the relationship that I have with my mother and the women in my family, I just don't believe in putting my hand on a woman. And I don't believe that I have to be as aggressive in a demonstrative tone or demonstrative manner to be a man. So I'll step aside if you got any questions. But that's pretty much the story, and it's something. I mean, I'm very passionate about domestic violence. And as I said, the story that I wrote in the magazine, it gets even more detailed because so many things that I witnessed that it's just one of those things that a child should not see growing up.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Now, Stephen, in witnessing this, and I know you're probably really close to your mom because of all of this,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How did she survive these two violent relationships?
You know, that's one of those things that, I tell you, a black woman is resilient.
Yes, we are.
You know, you guys are resilient. My mother is a very strong person, and for her to overcome those situations is beyond me. She has the strength of 20 men mentally because she was abused tremendously. As I said before, the first time she was married, you know, the guy, he just used to just pound on her, and you can hear it. And you could just hear my mom just begging him to stop, you know, please stop, stop. And I didn't know whether to run in with a knife and slice him up or to just sit back and just do nothing. And it got so bad that he would do things to me mentally that would just, you know, it had me shaken up. It had me shaken pretty bad. And I recall the strength. One time he had hit me so hard that I had like a little funny weapon in the small of my back because he had smacked me in my back or something like that. So, like I said, I don't know how, but the second time, my mom, I guess she just got tired, and he was a drug dealer, and he had done some time in prison for some type of narcotics charge, I do remember. And I thought that, you know, we kind of thought that was going to be the change, but it didn't change. So eventually my mom had just had enough.
These are two deep conversations, and I'm going to defer for a moment and let my co-host, Lady Q, you're on the air.
Yes, Stephen. I wanted to say thank you so much for calling and giving us this unique perspective. We hear a lot from victims, women that come out. We don't hear a lot from men, and we definitely don't hear enough from children who have survived seeing their mothers be abused. So I definitely want to thank you. I know that you're touching someone with your story. I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give if there is, you know, a 15, 16, 17-year-old child listening and they know that their mother is being abused? What advice would you give?
The first thing, one thing that I noticed that everyone in my home is I always had a strong spiritual backing. And if you have a strong spiritual background, lean on that. You know, the Bible has plenty of stories on how to overcome adversity. But in the case of extreme violence, you know, you have to talk to somebody. You have to tell somebody that you're close to, and hopefully they're listening. Because a lot of times when there's some type of violence going on, the person who's involved in it may not immediately try to get out of the situation because, you know, you see so many times where somebody's being abused and they say, well, no, you know, it was only that one time, and they're making excuses for the behavior. So the person, the teenager or the child who's involved, they have to talk to somebody. They have to tell somebody, you know, something. And people have to listen to these stories, because if you don't listen, if you turn your back, you may see them on the 6 o'clock news. one way or the other.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's, you know, people at the church that I attend, they have a domestic matters a ministry called the House of Ruth. And when I just, you know, said that I wanted to be a part of the House of Ruth, they were like they jumped on it because it's rare for a male, especially a black male, to open up about his experiences with domestic violence, because it's just assumed that women are the ones that experience it. But, you know, children, we see it. Thank God my brother and sister never saw it because they didn't run around at the time. But it affected me in a lot of ways where my teachers, to this day, you know, they're like, well, you made it, you know, a master's degree, working on another master's degree. It's like, we never would have thought you would have made it this far. But, you know, that goes back to that strong spiritual foundation and, you know, having a mother with the strength of, you know, 10,000 men. I mean, she's very strong. But every woman is different. Everyone is different. Everyone can't survive the same things the same way. So yeah, there has to be stricter legislation to prevent domestic violence.
Right. Stephen, I want you...
I have a question.
Gina?
Yeah, I had a question for...
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, okay.
I had a question for Stephen, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. My question is, because my son was between when it happened the most, he was like a year between 18 months of age. And then they like I said, CPS put them at 18 months. But I always felt that it impacted him. But they're telling me that it didn't. So what, I guess my question, he's three now, but I noticed like when people yell and stuff, he kind of gets really offensive. So I guess, what can I do to help my son? Because I don't know if it impacted him or not.
Trust and believe it impacted him. I have a very close friend, and you probably heard of her. I know you guys remember the DC sniper.
Yeah.
She was being targeted by John Muhammad because he wanted to take the kids back.
Mm-hmm.
And because he wanted to take the kids back, he started to, you know, kill all those people in the DC metro area. But he was abusing Mildred. And I actually knew Mildred, you know, along that time frame. And a lot of those things, those children, they saw. So even though they were older, they saw it. They So children between the ages of 0 and 3, they absorb a lot of information.
And that's what I was thinking, because it's like, everybody tried, even my worker, she used to be like, oh, he's three, he's gonna don't forget the terrible two and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, how does my son go from being fine to mommy, I love you? And I'm like, okay, I can understand if he doesn't get his way, that's one thing. But then it'll lyrically get to like, you're not my friend, and he like lyrically wants to hit somebody. And I'm like, no, he's lashing out. You guys are not understanding me. They're like, they keep telling me my son doesn't need help. So I'm like, do I just talk to his pediatrician about it or what?
No, what you need to do, Gina, is seek a child therapist. Because I'm not agreeing with Stephen because, you know, I've been sitting here and I've been talking to both of you this last 50 minutes, and I'm about to say something to the listeners here that's very personal. You know, I never said anything to either one of you, and both of you can tell listeners this, I never mentioned anything about myself in our conversations on Facebook and inboxing about the fact of being domestic violence. But my mother went through that. And I'm going to tell you, the best thing that she got from my brother was therapy.
Okay. Because somebody else was telling me that. They were saying they have a, like, even though he's little, they have a form of play therapy where they can interact through playing, and it can like express how they feel.
Children absorb things early. They learn early. They remember. We remember things. We just don't know what it is.
I know he remembers because like if he sees people, see his thing now. If you yell, it's too loud to him. Everybody's like he has a hearing problem. I'm like, no, he witnessed me and his dad in domestic violence.
And I bet if anyone ever strikes their hand up, he'll probably cringe. If anyone ever just raises their hand, he will probably cringe because he is remembering his father hitting you.
Yeah.
Kids remember.
Because I have to lyrically calm myself down because if I yell at him, it's like a crying episode for like an hour straight. And then I have to lyrically calm myself down, then get him and hug him and like, Mommy, sorry she yelled at you. I'm just trying to get you to understand. But then I have to remember that's what he's seeing. So to him, yelling is like he's in trouble. Or fighting, and I know because now it's to the point he'll go, Mommy, are you sad? Are you sad? And because it's like I said, due to the depression, it's times I can be perfectly fine, and then it's times I could sit there and just see something on TV, and it'll just like instantly trigger something that happened, and it's like, oh, I don't want to be like this, but it's like if you don't know, it just hurts me because. It's like if people don't know what's going on with me, they're like, what's wrong with her? Or they think I'm weird or something. And it's like, I'm not weird. We're not weird. We're all human beings. We're just suffering through something.
Right. KD, you're on the air. Would you like to say anything to Stephen or Janae?
Yes. My question is for Stephen. Thank you, Stephen, for being on the show tonight. My question for you, Stephen, is seeing your mom going through these situations, how does it affect your relationships as an adult?
In what way? Explain so I can give you the correct answer. So which way you...
Relationships of you and your partner?
Like I said, just based on what I remember from my mom and the violence, I'm the type where I don't like to, I would not want to repeat what I saw. So, and that's what I was telling you before, I'm more of the type where I like to talk, you know, and discuss things, and I don't like to have things escalate to, you know, where the decibels are tearing the roof off, because once you get to that point, then you're going to have problems.
Okay.
So that's just what I remember seeing with them, you know. So several times I saw that, and it was like my mom tried. She tried so many times, and it never seemed to stay calm. So that's how I like to do it. I like to stay calm and relax. And never, ever, 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 ever have I ever put my hands on a woman. Ever, ever, ever have I put my hands on a woman in a violent way. Ever.
Stephen, did your mom seek counseling for you?
No, and that's one of the things why, you know, my family and other people who knew the situation just thought that it was some type of miracle, as the thought was, based on everything that I had gone through and that we had gone through, that I was going to be one of the statistics with 10 children and 5 baby mamas and, you know, working some minimum wage job. So,
or in jail somewhere because
in the penitentiary.
Whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you are definitely a survivor from that, because you're right, you can go either direction. It's just like Janae, you know, just even with your case, Janae, you know, you fought, and I'm not saying fought physically, but you fought mentally, and you got out, because what to say that you would even be here right now if you had stayed into that relationship with your son's father?
Right.
You know, I mean, because we hear it a lot of times where when it comes to domestic violence, usually the survivors may only be one, and that might be, you know, a child, because the female or the male, whatever the situation is, is dead. Whether they were stabbed 15,000 times, whether they were, you know, shot, or whatever the case may be. So any type of form of a survivor is awesome, whether it's, you know, the people who are being abused or the people who witnessed the abuse.
Right.
Awesome. I want to take the time, with along with my co-hosts, Lady Q and KD, right now, to say thank you for being on Baby Mama Talk with us this evening and sharing a very personal discussion and personal to both your lives. Lady Q, do you have anything else to say to our guests before we close for the night?
I just want to, again, express my immense gratitude. I've really been touched by this show. I want to thank you for sharing your stories. Miss Gina, you are an amazing woman. And you know your kid and you know your son more than anybody would ever know him, and you follow your instincts, and please get your son some help. Continue to seek help for yourself, no matter what anybody says in this community. Unfortunately, seeking therapy is not something that's popular or cool or something that's even done a whole lot, but we need to, and we need to talk about it, and we need to be better mentally as a community. And I think it will benefit the both of you to, you know, get into some family therapy and him seeing a child psychologist. And just, again, thank you for sharing your story. And for Stephen, you are an awesome testament that children can survive and that not all men that see abuse have to become abusers. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lady Q. KD, any last words?
Yes, I just want to commend both of you for telling your story and sharing it with the world, and we thank you once again for being on our show tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I would like to say one last thing. I don't know if a lot of people know it or if they want more information. I believe it's October 7th is National Domestic Violence Awareness Day.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I do know that the color's purple when they wear a purple ribbon.
Yeah, it's purple.
Okay, because I have the purple ribbon. I just can't remember if it's October 7th or not, but I believe it is.
Yeah, it's purple.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Gina, I want to thank you for being on our show and commend you. Do your best. Keep staying strong. Keep in the faith. Get help for your son. Get help for you. And everything else will be nothing but up. I thank you. I really do.
Thank you.
Stephen?
Steve, so you're not one. I sent you a request on the Facebook. That's me.
Okay.
My picture's not up there, but that's me, so you can give me more information on the child therapy and stuff.
Okay.
And Stephen, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you come from that perspective. I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Baby Mama Talk with Nikki Outlaw and co-host Lady Q and KD. For those who, as first-time listeners, this show is mainly geared for women by women, but it's geared for everybody. We have real conversations, real issues, real talk, just as if you were sitting in your living room or, out with your friends. So we appreciate you. We thank you, and please tune in every Tuesday at 8 p.m. We have all been sponsored tonight by Azure Sky Wine out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and Danae's Collection out of Detroit, Michigan. And one last thing is we go out to our manager right now. First, he lost his mother this week, and we just love you. Good night.